You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hey, John, you know what's really fun?
Yeah.
I can actually see the TV in the reflection of your metallic microphone. I can see the little tiny TV in there, John. Well, do you have two going? Do you have two TVs going?
If you need to know, the score is 110 to 90 with 6 minutes left.
Yeah, both my bets are going to hit tonight. That's awesome. Knock on.
And Giannis just got an and one.
Check New York Bozo. New York Bozo. New York Bozo.
I got to get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. It's been a while, but we're back for the draft on Thursday. It's a definitive yes, it's happening on Thursday. And as in typical Pack to the Future fashion, we're right up to the wire with this one. You know, doing this on Monday, draft on Thursday. But the important thing is that it's going to be in your hands probably Wednesday the latest. So enjoy as we decipher what the Packers should do in this upcoming 2019 NFL draft. As always, I'm your host, John Jameson. Joining me tonight, Dusty Evesley and writer Thane. Good evening, gentlemen.
What's up, John? I get a last name and he gets writer Thane.
Writer Thane.
He always calls me writer.
It's like the first thing that popped, and I'm like, you know what? That's actually, you know, in Milwaukee, there's the 1250 WSSP sports radio station, and plug in them real quick. Awesome. They love me. And no, but they have Radio Joe. And so I'm like, I just played off it. Writer Thane. And Thane has been coming out with some amazing draft content if you guys have not been following. So get on that stuff. And you can hear his voice tonight, probably talking about some of the things that he's wrote down. But beyond that, actually, Dusty, I have one thing to say to you.
Yeah, John, what's up?
You had tweeted out recently. You were like, I can't stand it when people say full names in podcasts.
No, that was a misunderstanding.
I would like for you to explain, but number one, just know that I was thinking about just continuing to say Dusty Evesley the whole episode.
That's fine.
But I'm cutting it. I'm cutting it right there.
I think it was blown out a little, or maybe I didn't explain it quite correctly. It's not when people say full names. It's when there's like, especially when there's only like two people and they say full names, like every time they talk, like at least once per minute, especially when there's only two people and it's maybe like a long name. I'm not going to name the person who is doing it or the podcast, but I will say that the person that they were talking about had six syllables between their first and their last name, and there's only two people there and they're talking the whole time. And like, I know who it was, a man and a woman. Like you are a man, you are addressing the woman. Like I understand how voices work. I understand that only two people are here work. I don't need to hear that person's first and last name. I have friends that every time I see them, I say their first and last name because some names just flow that way. But I don't say their first and last name like every minute because it's excessive. It's just overly excessive.
It's too excessive. It's extra. Yeah. It's extra.
It's way too extra, John.
Yeah.
So that's my point. If you say first and last name, that's fine. Just every time you make a point, John Jameson, I don't want to be saying
that every actually time. Sounds really good. It actually makes me thirsty, if I'm being honest, for a tall glass of water or something
tall
like that.
Tall glass of water.
Yeah. No, I love that. I also I like I said, I think I have intuited at you a little bit and just been like, you know, I might do that, but I appreciate and love you too much to put you through something like that.
Thank you, John.
But yeah, we've been away from this for far too long. And you know, before we get any further, Thane, how has life been for you, my man?
Oh man, I got a lot of stuff going on in very short amount of time. So I'm graduating college here in less than 2 weeks. I start my full-time job in roughly 3 weeks. So I'm moving on to my house, moving away from the homeland of Nebraska and the college land of South Dakota. Also, on another note, I became an ordained minister yesterday online.
Really?
in the amount of time of 5 minutes. See, because my sister just got engaged and she agreed to let me be the minister at her wedding. So she's going to regret that.
She's going to regret that.
I'm going to send it to her. I hope she listens to it.
Dude, hey, Thane, you play your cards right and you send me some video of you doing it. I might just have you do mine.
Oh, yeah? You getting married?
No, maybe.
No, maybe.
like in 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't met anyone, but, you know.
I'll just make sure and not let my certificate, become expired.
Just keep up with the continuing education or whatever.
I could always just go back to school.
I would just request that you wear your certificate, you know, put that in that plastic wrap, wear it around your neck during the ceremony. Just so people know.
John, just pay for him to have it screen printed onto a t-shirt. Just do that. Just a screen print onto a t-shirt. That's the better, way to do it. That's better the move. Idea. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Hand out free shirts at the wedding with Thane's ordinance.
That wedding sounds baller, John.
I don't even know how you would say that word. Ordination. Oh, there we go. Ordination.
That was pretty
easy. Ordination.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, John, that wasn't that hard.
No, it actually wasn't, come to think of it. You know what? I love talking with you guys. I love the Green Bay Packers. And I think that this is a year where the Packers need to hit on the draft. I don't think that there is. If we want to see success with Aaron Rodgers at the helm one more time, I think this draft needs to be the one that just hits. So without further ado, we need to talk about this draft because there's so much speculation, so much talk already going on, and we're going to do our best to just get to the bottom of this, and what better way to do it than with a coin toss? So let's do this coin toss, guys. It's Dusty versus Thane. I am so lucky and blessed that I do not have to do this because my draft preparation is typically pretty lazy. I'd put it that way. But I'm glad to have you guys on, and let's get right into this. I have my coin right here. The first question I have for you guys. This has been the number one talking point, I would say. Should the Packers draft a quarterback in the first 2 days of the draft? We'll call it that. You know, and so I'm going to flip this coin here. Thane, if it is heads, the Packers should draft a quarterback in the first 2 days. And it is heads. The Packers should draft a quarterback in the first 2 days.
So I think really when you look at drafting a quarterback in the first 2 days from a Packers perspective, that generally means with their needs that they probably have this quarterback high on their board. They're obviously always evaluating quarterback talent. So they probably got a really good deal on this quarterback, I would guess, just because it's probably towards the bottom of their needs, things like that. It might be a guy day two that's like a Drew Lock or a Daniel Jones, somebody like that who you get a really good value on. Listen, I really won't pretend that I see anything out of DeShone Kizer. I won't pretend that I see anything in Tim Boyle either. So really drafting a quarterback would maybe if Rodgers gets hurt like he has maybe like the last three seasons, maybe it would give you an opportunity to put somebody in that is worthwhile, that could actually maybe win a game or actually hold the game into balance, like we saw in the Bears game. Obviously, DeShone Kizer had no capability of doing that. So that would just be good. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers' day is not going to play forever. Obviously, he wants to play until he's 40. You never know. You really never know. So all in all, if they feel as though there's a quarterback on the top, atop their board that is a good value, that's generally when they're going to pick them on day one or day two, and I think that'd be a good pick.
Dusty?
No.
No.
And discussion. No, I mean, this is something that's been cropping up quite a bit lately, and I mean, I get it. You know, there's even, you know, people throwing out parallels to, you know, this is about the age Favre was when they drafted Rodgers, and like, it doesn't... Those parallels don't really work for me, because Rodgers has not hinted at retirement a dozen times by this point and has not given any indication that he's maybe leaving anytime soon. But beyond that, I mean, if you look at kind of how the NFL is going now with some of these teams, and, you know, the Rams last year, a perfect example. You look at, say, what the Browns are doing right now with Baker Mayfield, and when you grab a young quarterback, and then you build your team around him because they are not costing you a whole lot of money. You've got, you know, if you draft them first round, that's... you know, whatever, 4 years with the fifth-year option and draft him anywhere else, and you got 4 years under that rookie deal that you can just spend and you can go nuts and you can throw money at someone like an OBJ because the quarterback's not costing you anything. If you do that now, like, regardless of whether Rodgers gets injured or not, Rodgers is there, you know, for at least the next 3 to 4 years given the money he's been given. I mean, 3 years at the minimum to where it's not, maybe won't kill you to actually cut him. And I just, like, if that's the case, let's say you got 3 years with Rodgers and you draft a first-year quarterback. That gives you 2 years. Like, 2 years. That's including the fifth-year option where you can draft someone in the first round. And 1 year, if it's a second-rounder, before you just, and you just lose all that. I mean, to me, it makes sense. And I don't, and part of it is I don't love this class of quarterbacks anyway. It makes more sense for, you know, next year or 2 years down the line when you're kind of closer to the end of Aaron Rodgers. But right now, no, just because you're losing out. You're basically losing out on those years of a rookie quarterback when you could be doing that later. So I get the Kizer Boyle thing. It's a good point there, but I don't know. I think if you're drafting someone that high, you're hoping they shake out in the future. And I just, the timing, both the timing and the class, I don't think work out for this.
That is a very tough point to argue, Thane. And It's very tough. I think you look at the mold of success that the NFL has seen lately, and it's been quarterbacks like still on their rookie contracts that you've been able to load the defense or load the offense with weapons, and then you have a capable young quarterback who's still on his rookie contract. That's like, that's been a recent trend of success in the NFL, and I think that would probably look to continue. So I think it's too early to draft a quarterback just yet in Green Bay. But you did very well, Thane Dusty. The points has been awarded. To you, good sir.
Me? Yeah.
To you, yes.
Yay. And
I've been bested in battle.
Yeah, you kinda got screwed, Thane.
I would have if you would have given it to me, I would have conceded.
The coin does all the talking, man.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
You live and you die by the coin.
The coin is about to speak to us once again. Ooh. What is the bigger need, special coin? What is the bigger need in this draft? Offensive line or defensive line? Dusty. I shall flip the coin. The special all-telling coin. And if it is heads, you'll be taking offensive line. It is tails, you are going defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of looking at this roster, and it's fine. You know, that defensive line, you know, you're looking at it, and you've got Kenny Clark. Hey, Kenny Clark's really awesome. Isn't Kenny Clark great? And he's like 22 or something. That's amazing. Mike Daniels is amazing. And then you've got, you know, other guys, I guess. I mean, I liked what Tyler Lancaster showed last year in limited time. I thought he looked really, really good. So I'm kind of excited about him, but he's also relative unknown at this point. Montrevious Adams is a guy who we kind of thought was going to take a big step forward last year, and then didn't. I don't know. And you look at then Dean Lowry's fine, and I like Dean Lowry. I don't know why I said he's fine. I like Dean Lowry. Fadal Brown is, shows promise, I guess. I don't know. And then, Daniels is going to be gone likely after this year. So it's one of those, like, you look at this and it's, everything's a strength until it isn't. And, last year it was Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels and, they brought in Muhammad Wilkerson and Lowry had looked good. And, that's good. That's a good rotation. And there was reason to be excited about that. Well, now, Wilkerson then broke his ankle because Kentrell Bryce is just screaming down the line like a bat out of hell for no particular reason. And then he's gone, and now you're kind of, and again, we don't know how the draft is going to shake out at this point, but you're kind of looking and going, well, that looked to be a strength last year, and you're looking at it now and going, like, it's Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, and then guys, and after Daniels leaves, it's not a great look. So I think, based on kind of where it's falling, it might not be a need this year, but it's going to be a need next year and the year after that. So I really do think kind of based on where some of those draft strength is, I think DL makes sense. And I do think it's a bigger need just because it's, again, maybe not a need right now. It is going to be a need very shortly because the depth is not great. And if Daniels leaves, it's all gone. It's all gone.
Thing.
Well, I think to start with offensive line, you have to really reference an out-of-the-box point, and that's that Matt LaFleur's offense is different than Mike McCarthy's, and I think they really need players that fit more of that zone running scheme more so than they did before this. So they basically have the McCarthy mold right now. They have good players along the offensive line in spots. Obviously, Corey Linsley played at a Pro Bowl caliber last year. David Bakhtiari is an All-Pro. But then you look at the other three positions on the line. Lane Taylor had a down year. We have no idea if he's going to bounce back or not. He could be a potential cap casualty coming up. Really, you just signed Billy Turner to a contract, I assume to play right guard. I think that's what they're doing with him. But you still haven't seen him in the offense yet. And then, of course, you have Mr. Brian Bulaga out there, right tackle. Can't really ever seem to stay healthy on the final year of his deal. Most likely his last year in Green Bay, I would say. So really, I think they need that right tackle of the future. And they really just don't have a prospect at right tackle unless you consider Jason Spriggs one, which at this point I do not. I think it's kind of his time to be considered as a prospect is really just over the past 3 years. At this point, he just kind of is what he is. So other than him, they don't really have a true prospect right tackle on the team. So I could definitely see Green Bay going out even at 12 or 30 and picking an offensive tackle of the future. Just seems like something that they could definitely be doing. And then they also really could look at some interior offensive linemen as well. I know Cole Madison is back, but we don't really know what to expect from him yet. Justin McCray didn't really play all that great last year. So there's definitely offensive line need there. And I could really see them picking an offensive lineman even as early as 12.
Point has been awarded to Thane, and
that's fair.
I mean, it is. I mean, it, again, Dusty, I feel like you got the short side of the coin, but yeah, because I view the health of Aaron Rodgers at the absolute premium, and with the play of the offensive line last year, it's a scary place. So I think we do need to address the offensive line. Pretty early in the draft, I would put it that way. So we are all tied up at 1-1 with the final coin toss question. And, what's a good offensive line without a great tight end? There's a couple first round projected tight ends in this draft, in TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. Fant, obviously, slight lesser of the two, so he's projected a little bit lower. So, Thane, I'm going to flip the coin, and if it is heads, you are going to take TJ Hockenson at 12, and if it's tails, you're taking Noah Fant at 30. And it is tails, you are taking Fant at 30, Thane.
This is actually interesting. I just ran a bunch of polls, like, would you rather take this guy at this pick or this guy at this pick on Twitter last week, and one of them involved TJ Hockenson at 12, and it was against DK Metcalf, and he won by a ton, but not a lot of people like DK Metcalf. But that's besides the point. Anyway, so in terms of Noah Fant at 30, I think TJ Hockenson is a little bit better of a tight end. That's true, and I think that with his run blocking style, I think he is a little bit better of a fit in LaFleur's system. But I don't think that his actual talent level and his fit level is that much better to the point where it's like, okay, I'd rather have TJ Hockenson at 12 than Noah Fant at 30. Because really, if you wanted to trade up from 12 to 30, you're talking about some significant draft capital right there. So really, Noah Fant is going to be one of the best athletes at the tight end position in the NFL. Step in right away, 4.5 40 guy, and he is 60. He's, I believe, 6'5", and I think he's not quite 250 pounds. Could be a functional blocker in the NFL. So really, he could stretch the defense down the middle of the field and catch some deep balls, things of that nature, and eventually take over for Jimmy Graham when he eventually does exit and open up things underneath for guys like Geronimo Allison and probably more importantly, Devontae Adams, and really just take a little bit of pressure off of those guys. Give Rodgers another weapon, but not take a premium pick to do so.
Dusty?
I'm all in on Hockenson, man. I mean, I get that 12 is a, like, it's weird, man, because we're not used to drafting 12. And so 12 is a weird spot because you're looking at it and you want those blue chip guys. And based on the way that the draft is going, you want, you've got these edge rushers, just an insane amount of edge rushers that can do some impact. That's been an issue of need for a while, but the Packers have, you know, signed edge rushers specifically so they don't have to count on the draft to kind of fill those needs. You want a guy that can just... You want a guy at 12 that can make a difference on your team, wherever that is. You want a guy that can make like an impact and hopefully an immediate impact on your team. I look at Hockenson, and I also look at what LaFleur likes to do on offense, and I mean, good God, like it's a perfect fit. It's a slam dunk fit. He's a guy, I mean, those Fant measurables are insane. Insane. Hockenson ran a 4.7. Which for a tight end is fine. His college production also fine. He's an absolute road grader in the game, like, and the pass protection as well. Like, great, just tremendous blocking guy, but also no slouch in the passing game. Some of his stuff strikes me as kind of a like more athletic and also obviously younger and probably not as boring Jason Witten, where he knows how to get open. And he can also just block you, just block your face into the ground. And it's that kind of versatility, like a guy that can, you know, power block or receive, that I think LaFleur could do really well. I've talked about this before, but my thought process in most things is how does this team look? How does the personnel of this team look when it comes to like a no huddle drill, right? And having Hockenson as a guy that can unlock a ton of that stuff. He's a guy that when he's in there, you can legitimately do power run or split five wide if you need to. And based on the other personnel, it lines up. Like to me, Hockenson looks like the ultimate. This is the key that could unlock LaFleur's entire offense. So while I think 12 is usually a little high to take a tight end, I think Hockenson is that guy to do that in LaFleur's offense in Green Bay. I wouldn't normally say that. I just think his skill set and what LaFleur likes to do just marries so ridiculously well.
Wow. Dudes, that was excellent on both sides. I like when you said that, like, Fant is a for sure step in and produce right away day one type guy. I whistled, I think, for the first time in a coin toss yet. And then Dusty follows it up with a guy like Hockenson being a key to LaFleur's offense. And that sounded extremely – I am torn. I might say that for
first time.
You know, show purposes sometimes, but I am actually torn that I might just want to take this coin and flip it to see who won this. But
definitely done that before, John.
I may have. I don't know. This coin sometimes when the coin takes a hold of me, it's a whole different story. But my sports mind is geared towards underdogs, and for that reason, Thane, I'm giving you the win. Fant could be a little bit more of an underdog than Hockenson. And when you tell me that he's a step in, a plug and play player at 30 that can fit our offense, I am all on board with this. So, boys, very well done. I am impressed. I am actually impressed.
But I have one point, though, John.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm nobody's underdog.
No. You are the champion. You are the champion. That is a fact. You have been awarded champion. And you hold the title well, sir.
Hey,
you hold the title well.
Thane, McCarthy's gone. You don't have to suck up to him anymore. It's fine.
But if I see him on the street, I'm going to thank him.
You got to shake his hand and thank him, Thane. That's right.
I probably would.
I absolutely would. If he, for some reason, was wandering through Kentucky, I absolutely would.
Yeah, I could see him wandering through Kentucky.
He might, man. I should step outside. He might just be wandering down my street right now.
I could see him doing the bourbon trail.
That would be bizarre.
Actually, if he wants to do it, hey, Mike, if you're listening, if you want to do the bourbon trail, you hit me up, brother. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, we've always been big fans. So, yes. guys, well, that was a coin toss. Just moving on to just a couple quick topics that I'd want to hit on. If I'm a person listening to this draft and want to hear where you intellects are at with your brain. And the first question I have for you is, I know that we just kind of did a coin toss about Hockenson, fans, stuff like that, but I want you guys to give me who you want at 12. So we'll start with Thane and go from there.
All right. Well, I'll put it simply, and if I can just have any guy who I would consider realistic, obviously I'll probably exclude names like Josh Allen and Nick Bosa, but I think my favorite guy in the draft at 12 is definitely Ed Oliver. Taking us back to the coin toss, the second question, the defensive line really is a really big need. Like, Mike Daniels most likely, based on cap situation, will not be in Green Bay next year, in my opinion. Yeah. They also have a need. You know, there's three positions along that off the interior defensive line, and I think that he could play all three of them, honestly. Dude is just a crazy athlete and ran just a crazy 40-yard dash for a man who weighs like 285 pounds at like 6'2". And I believe he ran a faster short shuttle than Saquon Barkley, like at that height and weight, which is completely absurd.
Wow.
The guy is just amazing against the run. I think if you drafted him, he instantly would be like an amazing run stopper already, but he has so much potential with that athleticism as a pass rusher, and we haven't really even seen what he can do yet because they played him at Houston at nose guard so much that it was kind of like we're playing this guy out of position and he's not really getting a fair chance at rushing the passer, especially considering the fact that he was probably going up against double and triple teams quite a lot. So that's where I'm going with pick 12 if I have all the choices in the world.
Dusty, are you different?
I mean, I really like Ed Oliver. Honestly, I kind of wrote him off because I assume he's going higher, although there was news that came out. What was the report that came out yesterday? It's all smoke this time of year, man. I don't know.
Dude, were you talking about the Bob McGinn one?
Was that the McGinn? Was it McGinn? McGinn sounds right, where it's basically like he's selfish and doesn't care about anything or anyone.
That was the main point was that he was like a big trash talker and that it was going to get him in trouble at some point in his career, which honestly, like,
who cares? Well, it's a defensive line.
Exactly, yeah, it's defensive line. Like, it's not like it doesn't bother me that Jair Alexander is a big trash talker, and he's a cornerback, not a defensive lineman. I think that's almost a little bit different too. Like,
I assume Daniels talks all the time.
Oh, I assume so.
I see him talk.
Yeah.
On the field. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think those two would feed off each other, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, if Oliver's there at 12, I'd be all about it. I'm a big fan of Ed Oliver. I kind of written him off just because I kind of assume at this point he's not going to be there. So my guy at 12, I've got Brian Burns. I really like Burns. Seems like a guy that you know, based on, you know, what they did in free agency, he doesn't necessarily need to produce right away. He can be kind of a situational pass rusher and then kind of grow into that a little bit as he needs to. But, I mean, just a freak athlete off the edge. So, I think, I'm going, if Oliver's there, that's fine. Take Oliver. I'm going Brian Burns at 12.
Yeah, I think to pretty much put a bow on it, what the last thing you said, Dusty, if Oliver is available at 12, yes. Like, that's that to me, that's the no brainer. So,
who's the Clemson dude? The Clemson DL. Who's the Clemson DL?
Oh, there's five Clemson DLs that are getting drafted. I'm not even joking about that either.
Why? No, I know there is. There's the Cleveland.
You're talking about Cleveland Farrell? I've never heard anything about that. Honestly, I've kind of waved him off a little bit too, just because his draft stock has kind of waned a little bit, just because like he doesn't have a complete athletic profile because he got hurt at his pro day and he didn't run all the drills at the combine, and then also he's not really a good fit in Green Bay either, so I don't know if they would take him, but because he's really a 4-3 end.
Honestly. I knew all that.
You know, I know something, and that's the Saints traded away a first round draft pick to us last year, and
we still got our guy,
and then they lost game one, and we were all like, yippee skippy, top 10, and no.
That was prime Fitzmagic. We've been over this. There's something wrong here. I knew it. I just knew it.
Yeah.
I was talking to my brother after that game. We were like, man, wouldn't it be cool if the Saints were just terrible this year? And they were not. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Not. No, yeah. If you didn't catch any of the season last year, the Saints are really good. And we are picking at 30. But hey, it's still a first round talent.
It's still two first round picks. First round picks.
Exactly. So, with that being said, Dusty, I always ask you questions when your mouth is filled with liquid and it's awesome. So,
say that in a way that doesn't sound terrible, John.
No, I said it the way I said it.
Fair enough.
who are you taking at 30? If you're
we just had a big coin toss about Hockenson at 12 or Fant at 30, and I argued Hockenson at 12, which I listen, man, I just said Burns. If we got Hockenson at 12, I'd be elated because I do believe everything I just said. That being said, based on where the board falls and kind of needs and everything like that, I'm all in on Fant at 30. If Fant is there at 30, I mean, it's all the points Thane said. I mean, you look at that tight end position, you know, it's Graham, who's probably here through this year, and that's it. There's an out after this year, so he's done. Mercedes Lewis has signed a one-year deal. We've got Tanyan.
Yep.
We kind of hope turns into something, but we don't know for sure. And then even though, you know, we're really not going to know. And so kind of assume after this year, the only guy currently on the roster that is still going to be there next year is Robert Tonyan. So I'm going Fant. You know, the Thane's point, I don't think, you know, he's obviously not the blocker Hockenson is. He's never going to be the blocker Hockenson is. But he's good enough. I've never been, like, if you get, like, a super athletic tight end, I've never been a guy who's like, well, that guy can't block, because who cares? Like, that's not what he's there for. If he can block well enough, that's fine. I think Fant can, and then has his athleticism unlocks a whole lot of stuff. And we were talking before the show, we kind of mentioned JerMichael Finley, and if Finley was not a blocker, he could block occasionally, maybe, but like, that's not why he was on the field. And Fant's kind of the same way. So, I'm going Fant because after this year, no Lewis, no Graham, which means we go into next year. We don't know what happens besides this. We go into next year with Tanyan, who had been working with George Kittle all offseason, and Noah Fant as our prime two tight ends, and I get very happy.
George Kittle's done some great work in San Fran.
He has, and Tanyan's actually trying to learn the position from him. Like, that's super exciting.
Yep, that's super exciting. I did not know that. That's actually very cool. So, yeah. Dane?
I think actually I probably would have gone a different way than I'm actually going to spin this right now. Yesterday, I probably would have gone with Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, maybe a Noah Fant. I love Noah Fant because he's not only just like everything that Dusty just said, but he's also a native Nebraskan like myself from Omaha. So that's cool.
Cornhuskers.
No, he actually went, you know, and then he goes to Iowa, much like a lot of Nebraska high school talent. So, but anyway, so, but yeah, I really like Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State as well, obviously towards ACL, but I think he's a top 10 talent. But another guy from Mississippi State who it's starting to become reported that Montez Sweat with his heart condition is starting to kind of get turned off by a few teams. A few teams took him off their board, even, it's been reported. Maybe that's just smoke. I don't know. But it sounds like he might make it to 30, like make it out of the first round. Honestly, Bay was willing to pick the guy at 30, I know for a fact that they probably aren't so, like, extremely concerned with his heart condition. And we know that he played with his heart condition his whole career so far and didn't know that he had it up until the draft, you know, they're the combine. So really the guy is 6'6", 260 pounds, runs a 4.440, which is absurd. So like, yeah, no, that's awesome. Like he's easily a top 10 talent in this draft. He's a great edge rusher. Like if he makes it back there and he's still on the Packers board as a person who they feel is healthy enough to play the position and not like a major risk, I think that would be almost like a no brainer, but I don't know. I'm risky.
What you just said about his combine stats, I think that's what draws people to the NFL. I think it's having freak athletes like that performing, you know, at such a high level.
I bet he's like an amazing basketball player.
He's a football player. You know, yeah. LeBron would have probably been an insane tight end or something in football. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll just never know. But I mean, the NFL has those athletes that I think the cap. Just when you hear stuff like that, you're like, oh, he plays in that league. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that one. That's insane, dude. Man, I'm excited. And the last question I have for you guys is, do you have any late round dudes that you're like, if the Packers get this, it is a steal, and you know, maybe the next double D in Green Bay. Who knows? But we'll start with Thane. Thane, are there any late round guys?
Oh, I have quite a few actually, but I'll try to keep this a little bit more brief than I could talk about it, I guess. But first and foremost, every single year on Twitter, I have my quote unquote the poor man. This prospect is the poor man's this other prospect. So one notable one that I did two drafts ago. I said that Akello Witherspoon, who ended up getting drafted by the Giants, or not the Giants, the 49ers in the third round, was the poor man's Kevin King. And lo and behold, Kevin King gets drafted at the top of the second round, and then he gets drafted in the third round. And honestly, he's really had a better career so far than Kevin King. But anyway, so I don't remember who I even did last year. But this year, I'm going to choose David Long from West Virginia as the poor man's Devin Bush. So a lot of people are familiar with Devin Bush. He's pegged to be like a top 15 pick roughly. So he's, you know, they're both small, compact inside linebackers that'll run around the field and make plays. Both great athletes. Obviously Devin Bush is the more polished of the two, hence the poor man's, but David Long is definitely a good cover guy who's going to run around the field and make some tackles for you. And really, I think could maybe even sneak up in front of Oren Burks and maybe take a starting spot next to Blake Martinez possibly, or maybe just be a dime guy or something like that, dime or nickel linebacker. I really like him. I think that's a really good value in the fourth round. Another guy, I wouldn't be overly upset if Green Bay didn't pick a tight end day one or two because I really like this guy. If we got Foster Moreau from LSU, he's a really similar athlete to TJ Hawkinson, maybe a little bit 40s, a little bit better, but maybe not quite as strong as TJ Hawkinson. Spark scores were identical. So basically Moreau is going to be able to give you that good athleticism, but he's almost kind of a poor man's TJ Hawkinson because he blocks really well too. So honestly, you could get him in the fourth round as well. And it's kind of, he'd be maybe a guy that's, he kind of reminds you of like a guy who could be a George Kittle, but probably won't, like didn't get the ball that much in Coach O's offense at LSU, but he's also got the athletic traits that he needs, and he's going to be a good blocker. So you know that he would definitely offer something in LaFleur's system. And then one last guy I really like is Justin Hollins. He's an edge. He's from Oregon. He's basically a 6'5", 250-pound guy. Ran a 4.5 40. You know, big, big, fast, and gets after the quarterback as a pass rusher. Really just needs to be more aggressive. Like, if he could get that aggression in the NFL, I think that he could be a really good piece. But he has all the physical tools in the world, and he had some production in college, and he played for a Power 5 school. So I think that'd be a really good pick, and you could probably get him 6th, maybe 7th round. So dang. I think that would be a gem.
I wonder how easy it is to teach aggression.
Maybe we should ask Mike Daniels.
I mean, that'd be a great person to learn from. that's for sure.
Just stick him right next to Mike Daniels' locker.
The best way to learn the game. Oh my gosh.
And then maybe you could draft Ed Oliver too, and you just stick him right in between the two of those guys.
Hey guys, how do you learn aggression? Shut up!
Shut up! How do I be angry like you, Mike? Like throws him through a vending machine.
That might not be the best thing, actually. That might push him the other way. We don't want that.
I would say one of two things. Either Mike Daniels would go Super Saiyan on him, or a cage would drop down in the locker room, and a cage match would instantly break out.
Could be both.
That would be my prediction right there. Dusty, do you have any late round guys that you're pumped on?
Not really. I don't know. I don't follow that much past that. I really like, I don't know, Thane, maybe you'll be able to tell me what the projection falls. I don't know. Like Matt Nelson out of Iowa, kind of interior defensive guy. I believe he's kind of projected to be late roundish. Like, he's kind of one of those guys that it kind of a lottery ticket. If he puts it together, he could be awesome, or he could not turn out to be not a whole lot. But I don't know. I kind of like what I saw at him out of Iowa. So if you can get him for a late round pick, I'd be all about that. That's all I have.
Nice, dude.
I've definitely seen a couple tape clips of him, but I haven't really dug very far into it. I want to say he might be from Sioux Falls, but I'm not for sure. But I guess that's not – I'm from by Sioux Falls, so that's not really any significance to anybody else. But, you know, just
where do you know where he might be projected to fall in the draft?
I know it's definitely a day – I'm almost positive it's day 3, but I haven't looked too close into it.
Yeah, he seemed like, based on what I've seen, like kind of a, like again, kind of like a lottery ticket guy, which to me, like that's kind of what day 3 is kind of, you know, guys that may be able to help down the line, but if you can get kind of one of those guys that may be high upside, hey, that's the time to take it. It's not day 1, it's day 3, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's hoping that Goody Kunst can follow in. You know, I mean, Ted Thompson had his picks, but, you know, Goody Kunst, I think, has, I mean, Jair Alexander, in my mind, was a great pick. And, you know, we'll see what year 2 has. It's a big one. And I think, obviously, here at Back to the Future, we are going to have way more insight as to post-draft than probably we will before the whole shebang. But I learned a lot, and I'm ready.
We've got one question, John.
We have a question.
We've got a single. We put out a call for questions late, so we apologize. Got a single question that has nothing to do with football, which honestly I'm all about, so that's fine. This question comes from Ted Thompson's ghost. Ted Thompson, actually still alive. Still alive.
What?
It's his, it's at get on my Twitter is his handle. I feel so old sometimes. This is one of those times I feel real old. His question, guys, it's a hard-hitting one.
Okay.
Hard-hitting question here, fellas. Pie or cobbler?
Well, you guys have worked very hard tonight, so let me take over. The bottom line is that there is such an insane difference, but yet it's so much the same. So when it boils down to it, if someone put a piece of pie or cobbler next to me,
You would eat them both.
Yeah.
Let me finish. I'm going to choose pie.
Like a I'm specific home. Kind of pie? What's tipping the scales, John?
Oh, I'm hungry. I'm hungry now. It's got to be a nice warm apple pie with the two scoops of vanilla ice cream right next to that puppy.
You got like the crumb crust on that, John?
Oh, my goodness. If you have never had an elegant farmer apple pie, I know this is plugging hard right now, but
get what that is, John.
An elegant farmer apple pie, and then tell me that you would choose a cobbler over it. You can't. You absolutely can't. So, pie. And thank you for sending in your questions, everybody. One person. Ted Thompson's ghost. Ted Thompson is for sure eating cobbler right now, because he's a sourpuss loser. And with
gracious,
where did that come from?
How we said some good things about Mike McCarthy earlier. What is happening?
Where did that come from? Holy cow! Final thoughts. I'll start. I'm just kidding, Dusty.
I've got two. You know, the draft is coming. Hey guys, did you know the draft is coming up? It's coming up. It's close, man. So I kind of mentioned this earlier. I don't follow the draft too much in the lead up to it. I mean, I pay attention. I read. There's just 1,000 people that do amazing work on the draft, and whatever I do is not going to be as good as them. So I just don't. So I read things. And I get excited about, you know, the first couple rounds. That's about as far as I go. But we do, you know, I get excited to watch the draft. Usually watch it with my brothers every year, at least, you know, the first round now. So I'm hyped for that. But, you know, one of the biggest things I'm excited about is just when the dust settles and we see who they pick, we can kind of start settling in and we can say, okay, what does this team look like now? Kind of looking forward. It's to me, it's kind of the last thing. The last big thing to get hyped for, you know, before the season starts is just, what does this look like now? What kind of sets can they run? Especially with LaFleur this year, you know, new head coach for the first time in forever. We kind of get a new look offense, and we kind of start looking, okay, how's this team going to look now? What kind of things can they run? What can they do well? Where are they going to be most effective? That's what I get most excited about. So I'm hyped for the draft, but I'm really just hyped for you know, the day after the draft is done, when we can really kind of start looking at this and going, okay, where are we now? It's with what it was done in free agency this past year. I think it's a really exciting time. So I can't wait to see what they do. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. I've actually got softball on Thursday that may or may not get rained out, but we'll be watching the first round somewhere, and I'm very, very excited about it. Last final thought is, so I went to go see Us. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I have so yet to good. See Get Out.
John, you got to, first of all.
What?
First of all.
Do I watch Get Out first?
Yeah, I mean, they're not tied together. I think Get Out is probably better. And it's also, you can see it first because, you know, it's out. Us is either still in the theater or at least not on VOD yet or anything. So,
okay.
Yeah, watch. I mean, Get Out's good. Get Out is just expertly crafted movie, and Us is kind of the same way. I think you've got some. Us has a few more. I don't want to say plot holes, because I do think everything was really well thought out. It's just not overly well explained. There are enough things where you ask questions about it to where it's. I don't think it's quite as perfect as Get Out is, but it's so good. Like, the acting's amazing, and the script is great, and there's just the Appeal does so good with just kind of setting stuff up early that if you really pay attention to a lot of the details early, like down to the VHS tapes that you see in the first frame and kind of how that informs where the movie heads, it's just tremendous. So I don't know, like just the acting is tremendous. It was super tense. I didn't think it was out and out scary, but it was creepy and it was very, very tense. And the performances are just tremendous. Great cast in that. You've got Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke as the husband and wife. You've got their their neighbors who are Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker, who are just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I really, really dug that movie. I'm looking forward to a chance to watch it again once it's VOD. That was definitely one I made a point to go see that in the theater. And it did not disappoint. So if you get a chance, just watch Us. It's a really fun, very expertly crafted horror movie with a decent sense of humor to it as well. So it's definitely watch that one. Those are my final thoughts. I am at Dusty Evely and at All22 Talk on Twitter, so you can bother me there, I guess.
Dude, I had no idea Tim Heidecker was in there.
Yeah, he's great. He's just Heideckering it up, John.
Gosh.
Just
Heideckering it right on up. That just put a speed line on my timeline to get to great, that thing. Dude.
He's so good. He's so good.
Oh, that's awesome. Thane, do you have any final thoughts?
Man, just in general, this is probably the most excited I've been for the draft in quite a long time, just with all the draft capital we have and all the there's so many positions that we have needs in, but they're all like really stocked in talent and really stocked in depth. And I just think it's going to be a great draft. I actually have my final class in all of college will be going on for like it's 3 hours long, but like it's going to creep into the draft a little bit. So that's going to be unfortunate, but I'll be following along on my phone in secret. So it's going to be okay.
If the draft starts at 7:00, which I assume it will. The Packers will probably have pick number 12 at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So no, I'll be fine. There. I just mean like, I want to be like, oh, this guy's gone. Oh, this guy's gone. I want to take it all in. But yeah, other than that, I have my anti-mock draft that I do every year is coming out here probably tomorrow. So that's going to be players that are poisoned to the pack, as I like to say. So players that we should avoid like the plague. So that's always a fun one every single year. And that's really all I got.
Where can we find your Twitter? What are your Twitter accounts? Because I say S on that too. Because
yeah, that's right. That's right. So
my I was featured on one.
we'll talk about that too. So so my personal account is at Track on Pack. That's where you can find my general lukewarm takes, my poll questions, and other things that I like to tweet. And then I also run Worst Packers Takes at Worst Pack Takes. John was recently featured on there. I had to read back all the way to when Manti Te'o was before Manti Te'o was drafted to find it. But John basically said that the Packers should draft Manti Te'o because he was going to be a future Hall of Famer. So, I liked Manti Te'o coming out of Hall of Famer, baby.
Notre Dame, sounds like a John take.
Future Hall of Famer didn't get picked until the second round.
Dude, that's like totally my thing though. Is like
he hasn't terrible pro. I mean, not great.
I was gonna say like it's always my thing. Like if someone just starts like talking negatively about things, because at the time, I mean, his girlfriend thing was like the number one thing being talked about, and so everyone's like, "Oh, how could you do this?" So naturally, I have to be the voice opposite of the crowd, and I'm like, "Yep, he's a feature." I did believe it too. So I can't just put it all on that.
Yeah, one night I just saw John's name on Twitter, and I was like, "Hey."
We talked about
maybe digging deep and finding a bad John take. And I mean, it did take a long time to find one that was worthy of Worst Packers takes, but I found one.
You know, why do you think I don't tweet as much anymore? You know, because I know that it is just ready to rock and roll at any moment. So
I dug real deep, Thane. I was looking for, because at one point I know I had said like, Nate Davis is the future of the league. But I couldn't find it written anywhere. I was going to try to send that to you. Because he never attempted an NFL pass. I couldn't. I know I said it. I just can't find it.
I guess there was some video of some guy in his mom's basement calling Rodgers a systems quarterback, and everybody on Twitter was searching for it the other day, but nobody could find it. I looked for it at work for like an hour and a half.
Someone mentioned it to me, and I hadn't seen it. I had no idea what they were talking about. I was like,
"Well,
I found
the link to the video like several times, but it was deleted by the author." So
it was like
one of those big pro football focus guys that said that he was looking for it. So then everybody was like trying to find it for him.
that is so awesome. Well,
there's been some bad ones lately. There really has. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the one the other day. I'm not familiar with Wisconsin's running back. I think his name's Jonathan Taylor or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, so they said that the guy said that he hoped that the Packers did bad this year so that they could have a good draft. They could draft Jonathan Taylor.
Oh.
To which I captioned, "Tank for Jonathan Taylor."
Oh. Oh.
You want to build around the running back position. I've often said that. You want to build around the running back position.
Thane, it is always awesome to have you on the show. As you guys didn't hear throughout the episode, Brian Pompera was not with us. Missed you, buddy. I know you're listening because you mix this stuff. So, hi. Hello. Hello.
You are forced to listen to it.
but, yeah. I mean, why... I'm just going to cut the chit-chat down a little bit and just get straight to the point with my final take. It's the MKE Bucks. It has been for a very long time. And not saying that I'm like some kind of fortune teller here by saying that this team is going to be great. But, man, they are proving their worth tenfold, a hundredfold, a billionfold. I love this team, man. And sky is the limit. Just the talent and the depth of the roster is unquestionably one of the best in the league. So just buckle up. I plan on getting down to some watch parties down at the right outside the Pfizer when the playoff games are going on. So if you're down in Milwaukee, hit me up on Twitter at John Jameson. I'd love to watch some games with y'all. It would be sweet. And if not, just enjoy the ride. Buckle up, bait my peeps out there. Like, cause this is fun. So, as the draft will be on Thursday, this is a big one. Let's get it done. Goot, you can do it, man. That's all we got for you tonight. The draft episode, Pack to the Future style. We are Pack to the Future. Check us out on Twitter. Check out the writers. All the above. Peace out, Pack to the Future.
Bye.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.